Back here on The Scoop and recapping the Thursday night's football performance last week between the Vikings and the Rams, and also helping us gear up for Vikings-Eagles this weekend, we're joined by AJ Mansour of KFAN 100.3 FM. AJ, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Not too bad. You know, have had a few days to just kind of separate from that that Rams performance, especially on the defensive side of the ball. A lot of frustration, but now having had a few days to look at it, you know, you got to be happy with the way that the team battled back after that Bills performance, and they were right in it till the end against one of the best teams in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, you can look at the good and the bad of it, and each week that's what you try and do. You know, the bad obviously was the defense. You mentioned basically not stopping Jared Goff all day. I know they had a couple three and outs, but the reality of it was they gave up a ton of points. They allowed Goff to get some big gains and some big touchdown throws at the moments that he needed them to get momentum, switched back over to the LA side, and they just couldn't figure anything out. You know, I don't know that it was as blatantly, you know, leaving guys wide open like they had done in the past couple weeks, but it was a step behind everybody almost the entire game, and that's the downside of it. And then on the other side of the coin, you have the offense and their ability to score points and put 31 points up and try and keep their way in every game. And, you know, it ended the way it ended, but at the end of the day, they did some good, they did some bad against what would probably be called the best team in the NFL right now. I don't know how poorly you need to or can look on your truck right now or on your team, and then going forward, it's going to be a mixed bag. You know, we don't really know what we're going to get on either side of the ball.
AJ, were you surprised at all in how candid Mike Zimmer was after the game and saying that he really has no idea what is going on with this team defensively?
Well, yes and no. I mean, it's a little refreshing having a coach that can, you know, tell you, you know, basically say what we say, say what the fans are saying, show the frustration. But at the end of the day, if he doesn't know what the problem is, if he doesn't know how to fix it, well, then we've got a little bit of a problem. And he came back the next day and kind of corrected himself and said, you know, I at that moment hadn't watched the film yet, and I think we're just doing too much. I think we're asking too much of the players. We need to simplify it a little bit and get back to the basics, because the basics are where the breakdown is. It's not necessarily communication. It's the basics of positioning, the basics of spatial reality on a football field is where they're struggling right now. So get some of those things done, you know, pare it back a little bit and let these guys use their natural ability a little more. You don't have to worry about the scheme quite as much. So I think that, you know, I liked that he was honest, and I liked that back to the drawing board. And even on a weird situation where you're a short week and the prep wasn't fully there, now you got a long week and the prep is probably going to be tons of it. There's, you know, you can take a lot from these games, and hopefully they do going forward for the rest of the season.
It was a rough day for Anthony Barr. Now, depending on your perspective, it could be attributed to just the scheme and that the Rams got the Vikings in situations where they really couldn't do anything to try to better help Barr. But how much of what we saw on Thursday night in the touchdowns that were allowed, that Barr was the one covering the players that scored, how much of that is on Barr, and how much of it falls on the Vikings for just getting caught kind of out of scheme?
Well, let me put it this way. If Anthony Barr had been having a stellar season to date, nobody would have been pointing fingers at him. They would have been solely pointing it at the scheme and the decision to put him in a scenario where he's going to go one-on-one, mano-a-mano, against a wide receiver. The wide receiver is going to win that battle almost every single time against the linebacker. So you don't design a play to go like that. You design some different situations, and whether it was something that they were tipping off and allowing the Rams to figure out and to see, to change a play and then go at Anthony Barr every single time, or if it was just, you know, more this miscommunication on the back end and somebody was supposed to stick with this guy, nobody did, so Anthony Barr went after him, and by the point that he realized that he was running wide open, he was a step and a half behind. So very easy to point the finger at Anthony Barr, but the reality is it's a scheme situation and responsibilities of his other teammates that kind of left him out hanging to dry. Now, I'm not going to come to Anthony Barr's rescue because he's had a terrible season. I mean, he's done a lot of mistakes, a lot of out-of-position stuff on his own, so I'm not going to completely, you know, take that off of his responsibilities, but at the same time, I think that there's more that goes into it than just Anthony Barr, being a good football player or not being a good football player.
Over to the offensive side of the ball, Aldrick Robinson, two touchdown catches, just like we expected in his first game with the team, right?
Yeah, just how they drew it up. A guy that they bring in off the street comes in and catches two touchdown passes. It was cool to see, a little bit of the chemistry that that he and Kirk developed back in Washington. It was one of those scenarios where the personnel department, they did ask Kirk. They said, hey, what do you think of this guy? Did you have any rapport with him? What did you think about your time that you spent with him in Washington? I don't think anyone would have expected him to come in and get two touchdown passes, but they're going to throw to the open wide receiver, and if he knows that his guy's going to be wide open because of the way that they play together out in D.C., that's going to help a little bit, and it's going to make him trust a guy like that that he's had a good rapport with and that he's had a history with over guys like Laquon Treadwell that continue to have up and down games.
I know fans pointed out quickly the fumble that ended up sealing the game for the Rams, but you look at Kirk Cousins' performance otherwise, this Rams defense had not allowed really anything in terms of yards or points, and then Cousins comes in and just torches them, keeping the Vikings single-handedly in the game. Just how good has Cousins' start been, considering that he broke the record for most passing yards through four games for a Vikings quarterback? Just how good has he been, considering everything else that's been going on around him with this team?
He's been really good. That doesn't take away the Buffalo game. There's still some weird things. He's putting up these big gaudy numbers for the season through four games, and remind ourselves that he basically did nothing in that Buffalo game. He started off slow. Obviously, they got pressure on him. They got those two fumbles early in the game to flip the field, but prior to that, he was overthrowing his wide receivers, overthrowing his tight ends, and that was Kirk. I mean, that was not a schematic thing. That was just bad throws from him. So you go to a game like this, and he's doing a lot right. He's moving the ball up and down the field. He had a little bit better protection in that first half, for sure. It wasn't until the fourth quarter, really, when that offensive line started to get tired, that the Rams got pressure on him, got some sacks. See the weird scenario at the end of the game. It'd be easy to blame Kirk for those fumbles. He's had three in the past two games. That's not good. That's a trend. That's not a mirage. That's something that you got to figure out what's happening there. But for all my money, I put that more on the offensive line, to protect the quarterback. And, there was a bunch of debate on whether Kirk Cousins should have gotten rid of that football at the end of the game or stepped up in the pocket to avoid the pressure. And then there's the screenshot that everyone took, and there was no pocket to step onto. It was collapsing from all angles, so he had nowhere to go. You're going to get blindsided by a 300-pound defensive lineman. Odds are you're going to drop that football if you don't know that he's coming. So it's a weird part about being a quarterback. You have to have that football free-flowing and on your right or your left hand, depending on how you throw the football. But at the same time, that's the most dangerous position to have it. So there's going to be criticism there, but I think at the end of the day, it was good to see Kirk Cousins bounce back. Any worries that might have popped up from that Buffalo game about him being the future of this team, I think those worries were quelled and those worries were pushed to the side because he went out against one of the best defenses in the league that had barely given up anything, and he posted 31 points.
AJ, Pat Elflein getting his first start of the season after missing the first few games, recovering from injuries. What did we think of Elflein's performance around the rest of this offensive line?
Well, here's where Pat Elflein, I think, distinguishes himself from other centers that this team has had and really separates himself in this league is out in space. And unfortunately, because the way that the offense has worked, because of the run struggles and the short passing game not really being a gigantic factor with Dalvin Cook on kind of a little bit of a pitch count, he doesn't really get to showcase that. So, I would say, again, that the offensive line as a whole, whether you count, that impact being felt because Pat Elflein was back in there, whatever it was, they did well through three quarters. Kirk had time to throw. They protected him. They kept him clean. And then in that fourth quarter, everybody seemed to get tired. They were running around Riley Reiff again. They were running up the middle. It was kind of a three quarters good and one quarter bad for everybody. So, I think that you can kind of clump him into that. You're probably going to see some stamina situation with him. He hasn't had this full game's worth of repetitions of snaps since last year. It's been a long layover for him. So getting that stamina, getting back in shape is going to be something to watch with him. but I think that he knows what he's doing. I think that the ability that he can really get out in space and show what makes him special, though, is something that the Vikings need to figure out, because they don't have much of a run game, and if they're going to move the ball in a different way than just passing over the top to Thielen or Diggs, it's going to include some underneath, some screens, some dump-offs, and that's where those linemen can open things up for that running back.
As we shift to looking at the Philadelphia Eagles, the next opponent for the Vikings, I did see Everson Griffin post a statement on his Instagram in regards to what happened the weekend that the Bills were in town. Obviously, sounds like he is getting the help he needs. No timetable on his return, and understandably so. But good to see that Griffin was at least feeling ready enough to make a little bit of a statement about what happened.
Yeah, you know, it was good to hear from him. Good to hear from his family, or his side of it. Whoever wrote it up, it was a nice little letter. Got a little bit of a heartfelt notion, made it relatable to, you know, human to human, and I think that was good. It was, I don't know that it was needed. You know, he didn't know anybody anything, but it's good to hear from him. Good to hear that he's taking the steps that he needs. Things you take away from that is, you know, he's dedicated to this. He's not going to walk away. He's going to he's going to come back a better person and a better player. I also noticed that he kind of said it was an indefinite leave. You know, he's not going to be back this week. He's not going to be back anytime soon, it sounds like. So he's focusing on his life before and after football, I think is more important to him, as it should be. So, you know, good for him. It was good to hear from him, and hopefully, you know, just for his sake, not necessarily even for the Vikings' sake, but for his sake, this can get handled sooner rather than later.
The Eagles coming off of an overtime loss against the Tennessee Titans, and I know a lot of surprise in just how aggressive Tennessee was in that game, playing for the win, not for the potential tie. The Eagles are 2-2. They've got Carson Wentz back. So just looking, AJ, at how this Vikings offense can possibly match up against the Eagles defense, what are some things that they will need to do in order to sustain some success?
Well, they're going to need to find space. You know, it is a skilled defense and an aggressive defense. And when I say find space, I'm talking about the receivers getting to a spot, whether it's zone coverage or man coverage, finding a soft spot, getting open, and Kirk seeing them. And that's going to open up everything. Again, I'm not relying on this run game until they've proven me wrong and gone out there and actually done something. So, you know, they're going to have to find space in the passing game to loosen up that defense, to get them uncomfortable in Philadelphia. You know, I don't know what to think of Philadelphia. They haven't looked great this year, but they didn't look great last year. And then they made a run and ended up winning the Super Bowl. So there's some scary pieces to this team, but at the end of the day, I do think it's a winnable game. I don't think it's going to be, you know, the blowout that we saw last year in Philadelphia. But at the same time, I really don't know what to expect. You have two teams that have been inconsistent. You have two teams that can show the best side and the worst side any given week. So I think that it'll be competitive, but I hope that it'll be competitive, because I don't know if I could stomach another blowout to Philadelphia. I'm listening to all their fans on Twitter.
Well, yeah, we would never hear the end of it from Eagles fans if this rematch goes in a similar way, even though it's just a regular season game. Good luck telling them that. AJ, just looking at what we saw from the rest of the division, is it time for us to officially be on notice for the Chicago Bears this year?
Well, you got to be on notice. I mean, the day that they signed Khalil Mack, you had to be on notice. But now Trubisky's throwing 6 touchdowns, really moving that offense up and down the field, putting points on the scoreboard. You know, again, I think I need to see consistency before I really am scared of them. You know, the Lions have shown flashes in the pan before, and they continue to wet the bed before the season gets done and miss the playoffs, or something falls apart, or they can't end up finishing games, but they're still a dangerous team. I think with Chicago, it's just a little different, though. They've been dominant on defense and dominant on offense. So if they can put that in there consistently, they're going to be a good team. I'm not ready to say it, because I've seen more consistency on the defense than I have on the offense. And Trubisky, I think, still is susceptible to making mistakes. If the Vikings defense can get back to the way that they were last year, that's a perfect matchup for them. A young quarterback that's going to try and squeeze the ball, maybe got a little bit too much confidence from the week before. You know, that's an opportunity that this team and the Zimmer defense likes to exploit. So from there, we just pay attention to what they do the rest of the season until they square up against Minnesota.
Before we let you go, AJ, any content in particular that listeners can check out over at KFAN before Sunday's game?
Yeah, lots of content. Obviously, we'll preview Sunday's game. I mean, right now up there, because of the weird schedule, it's mostly Twin stuff. The cool situations over at Target Field with Joe Maurer yesterday. Some cool videos of him going in to catch him, getting the double, his girls running out to him. It was kind of an emotional day. That's kind of taken the talk of this town here and the website, just because there was no Vikings game this weekend immediately. So we'll continue to preview this game, look forward to it, maybe break down why this year's matchup is different than last year's matchup with the Vikings and the Eagles. But there's some good stuff up there right now, too, if people want to go check it out.
Outstanding. Great stuff today, AJ. We'll hope that the Vikings can get back on track against the Eagles so that when we talk on Monday next week, we'll be able to talk a little bit more positive for this Vikings team. But regardless, we'll break it all down with you again next week.
Sounds good, man. We'll talk to you next week.